Hello, and we're live, fellow human beings out there, to whoever is listening. Welcome to She's an Outlander, a podcast dedicated to the television series Outlander. My name is Stacy.
And I'm Brittany.
And we are just two friends who've decided to create a podcast together during, you know, this time of COVID and quarantine and all that fun stuff. So what better time to make a podcast than right now?
No better time at all.
And, you know, so before we start, we'll just kind of talk a little bit about like what we're aiming for this podcast and the whole.
Well, yeah, because it's a little bit, it's not just a easy Outlander podcast, right?
No. So some of you might be thinking, hey, Outlander has been on the air for 5 seasons now. Why are you starting a podcast now? Good question.
Great question.
Very, very valid. And what I would say to you, friends, is myself, I know personally, I've been aware of Outlander for the past couple years, like watched, I think I watched the first episode 4 or 5 years ago. It was on, I want to say it was just like on TV one night, and I watched it, and I don't think I knew it involved time travel initially. Like I thought it was just like an olden time show, and then it started the 40s, and I was like, wait, what? And then I saw it happen. So I've like watched YouTube clips. I've been vaguely aware of like Claire and Jamie and the show, but like never actually watched the show. I have one of my friends watches the show. I don't know why I didn't start watching the show. It is so my type of show.
I have a few, and that would be that there was a few other shows that previously had your full attention.
Fair enough.
Mostly, you know, a certain Rami Malek. And now it just didn't have the space. And now you have the space in your heart for Outlander.
Very, very true. I love Mr. Robot. There's a lot of good TV out there, friends. But basically I've been aware of Outlander for years, and it was always one of those things like, yeah, I'll probably get to it eventually. I'll probably watch it. And then quarantine kind of hit. I was working from home, and this was probably end of March. I was aware that season 5 was in the process of airing. And I was vaguely aware, like instead of like actually starting to watch the show, I had watched like YouTube clips. Like there are scenes from like season 4 that I had watched, like big moments that I fully freaking ruined for myself because I am that person. I'm the worst. I spoil amazing. For myself.
Amazing.
But yeah, basically quarantine hit. I was working from home. It was kind of end of March, and seasons 1 through 4 are on Netflix. So I saw it and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start this. And it was a Monday night after work. I started with episode 1, watched all the way to episode 7 in the first night. And those of you, I mean, I assume if you're listening to this, if you found us, you're an Outlander fan, and you've seen all of the episodes, so you know what episode 107 is. And I watched up to that episode. I was like, I gotta just keep getting there, literally till 4 o'clock in the morning. So in the span of 7 days, I watched from the first episode 101 up until 507 from a Monday to a Monday. Because then
I can attest that she did do this. In fact, I have the picture text proof of her at 3 a.m. And then the next morning at work, being a little sleep deprived.
Just like sitting in a webinar being like, oh, I don't know if this was a smart life choice. But it was like, I was like hooked. I was like, I was obsessed. So I caught up to what was airing through 507. And then I just kind of watched live. And I've been listening to a few other podcasts, and there are quite a few really awesome ones out there. And so I'm that type of person. When I love something, I'll like dive right in, listen to as much as I can. And so I figure, you know, maybe during this unknown length of hiatus,
because we continue that enjoyment.
Exactly. And I figure surely, you know, if there are few people out there that are like me and just love the show and are just looking for new content and new ways to enjoy it, then why not? And I roped my dear friend Brittany into this endeavor.
Yes, because the big thing of this podcast is that I have not watched Outlander. So I'm on this podcast and I have not seen the show.
Hence our title, She's an Outlander. So not only is the main character of our show Outlander, but you know, Brittany's an Outlander too. And we thought this would kind of be fun because I'm obsessed with it and I'm determined to make Brittany obsessed with it too.
And I love joining you in these tunnel rabbit holes that you go down. And I was like, sure, I'll come with this, with you on this one. And we'll see if I can jump on this train with you.
You're like, let's do it. So, okay. So I've told you a bit about my journey with the show and how I binged it in a week and I'm full in and I love it and all that kind of stuff. And so Brittany, for you, so you don't currently watch it, but you have seen season one, but a while ago.
Yes. Yeah. So technically I have watched some of the show. I watched when it first aired on TV. I watched the first season, but that was 5 years ago.
It aired in August of 2014. The first
6 years ago.
So a while ago.
I watched the first season one time and then I never continued. And it was on Netflix and I haven't continued. And I haven't read the books and I haven't followed it. And I have no idea what's going on. You've made some references and I have no clue what you're talking about. So while I may have some jogged memories of this, I virtually know nothing that we're going into this with. And I've had no desire to enter this world again, but we're going to see if you, Stacey, my dear, dear friend, can convince me that I'm missing out.
I'm going to force her. So how we kind of, I mean, we are not professional podcasters, so we're figuring this out as we go along. So our kind of plan is that we'll do kind of a episode rewatch, or at least I'm rewatching, you know, and we'll go episode by episode through the seasons. And I'll kind of recap the show to Brittany and kind of break it down for her.
Well, yes, because I'm still not watching the show.
Yes.
That's also it. I am still have not watched the show. Stacey is going to convince me by actually telling me the show.
So I'm ruining everything for her.
She's going to spoil the entire first season. I am not going to watch any of the episodes. My only tunnel into this world is going to be Stacey describing this to me episode by episode. And then at the end of that, I'm going to go and binge the whole first season. And we're going to see, one, if she did any good at describing this show to me. Two, if I enjoyed anything that she enjoyed in it. If I'm in love with it. And if I think she missed huge points that I cared about.
Yes. Or if you hate the show, but you're already in too deep and I'm forcing you to go through more seasons.
And I'm just going
to
keep continuing. And then we'll start a season two and you are going to
the same thing
ruin the whole season for me. And I'm going to have to sit and just hear you spoil it to me without being able to watch any of the episodes.
My like ideal goal would be like, if you get super into it and we keep on with this trend and by like season three or four, you're like dying that you can't watch the episodes and that I'm just like telling you everything.
Yeah. And I'm just stuck listening and I can't actually watch it.
Or, you know, if all goes well and we're able to get to season six, whenever that is, thanks COVID. Whenever season six does come out, you know, and we're, you know, going through that live, you know, we'll see if we get there, hopefully, fingers crossed, you know, and that, you know, I'm watching the episodes week to week and we're going through it and Brittany still isn't able to watch it and she's dying.
Still behind.
So I guess, you know, I will definitely, as we're going through, I'm not going to spoil things for future seasons. We'll go episode by episode. This will be also primarily show, not really books. I'm a show watcher before I'm a book reader. So
just a weirdo.
I've watched
the show and then reads the book.
Listen, you know what?
Controversy right away.
Well, and like at this point, so I'm reading the books now. I'm currently on the fourth book, Drums of Autumn. And I've decided I really don't want to get past book five. Like I don't want to surpass the show, but we'll see.
Oh, has the book series
how that goes?
I don't even know.
There's
still books coming out?
Yes. There's So far, there's 8 books. And she is writing a 9th that everyone's kind of like waiting to drop. Book readers have been waiting, but these books have been, the first book came out, I want to say in like 91 maybe.
Well, yeah, they're massive. You said they're like 900 pages. So that, yeah, that takes a while.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, I know.
But is this the last season of the show or is the show continuing with the books?
So basically, so far the show has been about a book a season. However, season 5 brought in bits of book 6 from what I'm hearing. I still don't want to touch book 6 because it's like you can't start reading a book and then stop.
Right. Oh, if it's only part of it and then you would get ahead.
What I understand, they've brought in some big storylines from book 6 and put them into 5. They've only been renewed up to season 6 so far, which is supposed to go into production. They were supposed to go into production, I want to say in May, and then obviously COVID happened. So we'll see, fingers crossed, that we at least a 7. Like, it's still a fairly popular show. I'm not in the industry, but I listen and consume a lot. I'm all up in the award circuit, all that kind of stuff. It's still like, I want to say it's like Starz is one of their bigger shows. Okay. And I still think Sam and Kate, who are the leads, they are still definitely seeming to be interested in continuing the show. They were producers in season 5. So to me, that seems like a big step. Like, if you're going to be so invested in a show that you're going to take on a producer's credit for seasons 5 and 6, you would be invested in like seeing that show carried to the end.
Fruition, right? Of course.
Because those who are caught up with the show know kind of what's going on in season 5 and beyond. And like, we're leading to important points in history. And it would be a shame to have that abruptly cut or, you know. And so what's interesting is that there are things, I guess, that are still unresolved because the books haven't answered it either. You know, and so I know hopefully Diana gets those books out so we don't have a Game of Thrones situation.
I wasn't going to mention it, but okay, that sounds oddly familiar.
But
didn't end well.
You know, I digress. I was personally not super upset, but I'm Team Stark, so I feel you. Danny fans they did you dirty.
There you
her dirty. But yeah, so we'll see. Okay, so I guess shall we start getting into this episode? Or yes. No, actually, before we go in, Brittany, what do you remember from season 1? Like, if you can, I'm interested to hear. Like, what do you remember from this show?
Okay, so I only know their names because you have spoken them to me, or else I would not know. So there's a Claire and a Frank, and I'm Team Frank only because it annoys Stacey. Don't know what that means, but I've just adopted it.
Stepping into a can of worms.
I have to go there because I have no context for it. So it sounds like blind faith into just mass.
I regret ever saying those terms to you at all. Anyway, okay, so there's a Claire, there's a Frank. Thank you. I was like, there's another important character.
There's a third one in there somewhere. Okay, so I know that, so she's married to Frank, who I'm guessing nobody likes because Stacey gets really mad when I say that I'm Team Frank.
Which is, there are definitely people that love him and I'm going to get hate too because it's like, anyway, it's a whole thing. Well, this podcast will be 5 hours long. So continue.
We get into it all. Okay.
So Claire is married to Frank.
And Frank, and it's like still in the past, which is weird that it's in the past and then we go further in the past. I know that it's like the wartime or she's a nurse. I don't know. They're in Scotland or England. I think she's a nurse. They're in a like honeymoon. They're in like the car and they're driving. And then like she stumbles into stones and then she's in the past. And I know there's like stones with witches. Remember there
stumbles
was like
into stones.
Yeah, didn't she like fall into stones and she was in a portal or something? I don't know. Okay. I think she went through like a wormhole or something. I don't know. But there was like dancing women in like flowing gowns.
Okay.
And then she was at a castle.
Okay.
Well, I guess Jamie was there. I think he was in a kilt or something. And then she was like in a dungeon. I remember her in a dungeon, like chained up. I don't know why she was arrested. Something. And then the Jamie dude, he got whipped. I think that's all I remember. Don't know why he got whipped. I don't know what happened.
It's interesting what sticks out in your
brain.
And
that's about it. I think that's all I got.
So just, you know, Claire and Frank, she fell into stones.
Yep.
And It was the chains.
Ladies.
And Jamie was in a kilt. Okay. Yes.
Pretty sure he was in a kilt. There was a kilt.
And he got whipped. Okay. All right.
Don't remember why.
There's season one for you, folks. Great.
Is that wrapped up? Did I get it? Did I do good?
I mean, you're not far off. Obviously, there's some details. And it'll be interesting to see as we go episode by episode, just kind of seeing what jogs your memory. And kind of what you're, if you start remembering stuff, and then season two will be fun because I know your blanks that you really don't know.
No, I have not seen any of season two, and I have no spoilers. I think, yeah, do I have any spoilers for the show?
Because you're the worst with getting spoiled.
I know, I get spoiled. Okay, well, I do know one spoiler, and that was just because
Hold on. Obviously, just going to say, anybody who's not caught up on the show, I don't know what's about to come out of her mouth right now, so just... beware. Okay.
Well, I don't know when it's from. I just know that I was Googling a picture. I was Googling their names, Jamie
don't
and Claire.
Google.
Okay. I know. I don't know. I do this to myself. I spoiled every single thing ever. Every season of Game of Thrones was spoiled for me. Everything of Sons of Anarchy was spoiled for me. Just everything is always spoiled. I'm bad. I'm terrible. But I was Googling their name to look for a picture. And there was a picture with them all with a baby. So that's all I know. They had a baby.
Them with a baby?
Yes. That's all I know. That's the only spoiler I know. So somehow they had a baby.
Okay.
That's all I got.
All right.
That's the only spoiler I know.
All right. Well, let's get going on this journey. So I rewatched the episode. I still took notes, even though I've seen this episode probably about four or five times. I'm ridiculous. So we'll just kind of go and have some fun. So this is episode 101 of Outlander, titled Sassenach.
I don't know what that word means.
Okay.
It literally sounds like a Hogwarts house, maybe? Or like a curse?
Maybe.
Sassenach. Sassenach? Like that sounds like, or like something you'd buy in like Hogsmeade? Yeah, that just sounds about right.
I would like three Sassenachs.
Sassenachs? Please. It does. It sounds like, you know, you'd get it with your butter beer.
Maybe. We'll see, Britt, how close you are.
Do I get points for everything I guess right?
We could. We'll keep a tally and see. So, episode 101. So this was the first episode. It was technically not a pilot episode because I believe it got picked up for a whole first season order right from the jump. So it's not a pilot, hence why, you know.
I don't know what any of that means.
I'll explain to you later, darling.
Okay.
So it's called Sassenach. So it was written by Ronald D. Moore, who is also the show creator and showrunner for a time. He's also another big thing that he's known for is like Battlestar Galactica. I never watched it, but do you know, have you heard of it?
I think that, isn't that like a Star Trek thing? Star Wars?
Like Star Trek adjacent?
Okay, Star Trek. Okay.
Adjacent. It's not, right? But it's not Star Spock? Trek.
Oh, okay.
It's not Star Trek, but it's like, anyway.
Oh. I'm going to piss off everyone.
Dude, this is going to be fun. Okay. So anyway, Ronald D. Moore. So he was the writer and it was directed by John Dahl. So we basically open up and, you know, we open up with a shot of, you know, the Scottish Highlands, beautiful countryside. And then we hear a voiceover, which we hear quite a lot.
Ooh.
So enter
speaking to us.
We enter Claire's voiceover and hilariously, listening back to it, I'm like, ooh, Katrina's, her accent was a little different here. I don't know if it took her a couple episodes to fully like, it just is different. It's very different than like how it is now. It's a lot more, I can't even describe it. It's a lot more like
Scottish
soft.
Accent?
No, British. Claire's
British. She's British. Okay.
Claire's British. Katrina is Irish. Distinction.
Okay.
But
okay.
So she's doing a British accent, but anybody go back and watch episode one and am I not right? Her accent sounds a little different. Just her voice sounds a lot lighter and airier. So we start with this voiceover and we hear Claire going into this whole thing of like, you know, people disappear all the time. And you're like, okay. So she's talking about people disappearing. And then we see her staring at, this vase, she's staring at a vase. I can't remember. Her accent is messing me up. I wanted a vase of my very own. So she's staring at this vase and this whole voiceover about how sometimes people disappear and sometimes people think it's strange or not. And after all, there's normally a rational explanation when people disappear. usually. And then she's staring at this window and going on about how, you know, I was wishing I had a vase of my very own. And we basically are, we realize, okay, so she's in Scotland right now in this town called Inverness. It is 6 months after the end of World War II. So, you know, the Great War, the Second Great War has just kind of has ended 6 months previously. And she's kind of going on this thing about, you know, how she's realized she's never really been able to like be stationary and like create a home. And that's, I think, what this vase like kind of represents for her is like, you know, you buy this vase and it's for your home. And it's, so she's like, so for some reason she's drawn to this and you're like, okay, Claire. And then we kind of get a flashback to a couple months earlier. And it's, I think they're in France and it's, she's Nurse Claire because she's a combat nurse. So you're
She's a nurse. I got you.
So she's a combat nurse.
Okay.
So she's a combat nurse. And she's in France, and it's, we find out it's VE Day. So it's the day, you are the history buff, so you know this is the day that the war was finally over.
Right.
She's in France, and she's there's a soldier and an artery in his leg is bleeding, and she's like doing her nurse thing and blood freaking everywhere, like, and it's
very dramatic. I got you.
This is where you quickly notice, like, okay, Claire's a little bit of a badass. She just had like a whole artery just like squirt all up her apron, and you're like, all right. And then the male doctor comes in, of course, and he's like, I have this nurse. And so she like steps away and walks around the corner covered in blood, and someone comes up to her and it's like, Claire, it's over, it's finally over, and hands her like a bottle of champagne that she just suddenly chugs it. And
Jesus, that doesn't seem medically
welcome to
sterile?
Claire.
Sterile.
Medically sterile. Welcome to Claire. She does a lot of drinking. Claire likes her drink.
Okay, all right, I can feel her on that.
So, you know, she takes
a little bubbly.
She's a little like chug of that and all of that kind of stuff. And then so war's over, and then we flash back and she's still looking at this damn vase. and then there's a line, and I wrote some of these lines to myself. It's so hilarious. And she says to herself, like, I sometimes wonder what would have happened if I bought that vase and I made a home for it. Would that have changed things? So I don't know.
Oh, so this is like her in the future?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of interesting. I go back because you're like, who is she narrating to? Who is she talking to? Obviously, so the books are from her perspective. So her, so first person narrative from her perspective. So I think that's maybe the purpose of the voiceovers, especially to intro her, to get you in her head.
Okay.
But yeah, I always like, who is she telling this story to? Maybe she's just telling it to us. I don't know. But, you know, and then she goes, and you know, even after all the pain and the this and the that, I would still make the same choice. So you're like, okay, so we know she's about to go on an adventure. And then from there, we flash to the opening credits. Do you remember the opening credits to this at all?
Nope. No idea.
Oh, nope. Gosh, I love it. I'm not going to sing it for you because I can't sing, but maybe one day I'll play it for you. So I love it so much. I can't fast forward it. I listen to it like almost every time. Yeah. So it's the sky.
That's like Netflix's best selling point is you can skip intro.
Skip it. I know.
That's like the best part is you're like, yep, goodbye.
And I'm like, nope, I'm going to listen and I'm going to sing.
Just vibe to it.
A song of a lass that is gone. Okay, I'm done. But it's, I guess it's based off of an actual Scottish, I don't know, like folk song called the Skyboat Song that they just tweaked one of the words too.
Oh, okay.
And the instrument, like, it's very like bagpipey and Celtic, and Bear McCreary, he does the music, amazing. So anyway, we get this intro and all this kind of stuff, and then, all right, and now another thing, ding ding ding, we get like some 40s music, and we see Frank. That's gonna be his
Freudian
name
slip.
Hey, Frank. So we see Frank and Claire driving. So ding, you're a point for Brittany.
They're in a car. Yay.
They're in a car. And again, we get more voiceover of Claire explaining, oh, we were in Scotland as a sort of second honeymoon. So they had been married for quite a while already and were both serving in the war. She was a combat nurse. He was in intelligence. And they had mainly been apart for the past 5 years. Okay. You know, and so they're going to reconnect with each other after this war.
That's cute.
You know, and then we get to where they're now going to this like bed and breakfast. And again, so they're staying in Inverness and, you know, there's blood over the doors and they're making, well, this is very Hebrew. No, actually more, it's a little pagan. Basically, we discover Scottish Highlands have a lot of like folklore traditions and superstitions.
Right? Okay.
So that's where, so they check into this, they check into this bed and breakfast and Mrs. Baird, and you know, we find out, oh yeah, it's the blood of something called a black cockerel.
Watching Hogwarts?
Maybe. But it's basically almost Halloween, but it's the feast of something like the feast of Saint Oren. I don't know. Frank is a big historian and he's going to be a history professor. So he knows like, so Frank, he's like great to just give like random bits of exposition. Like you want,
you need explanation.
Kind of like Hermione and Harry Potter. Like when you need to know like the history of something and context of something, Hermione's just got it. Cause you just assume she read it in a book somewhere.
Yeah. Cause she's just like the little know-it-all and she knows, and she knows that no one else knows, including the audience. So she just like, oh, here you go.
Here, let me give you this information. Exactly. So that's kind of Frank a little bit. And he, you know, his history professor self, you know, and so we find out the time of year, it's about Halloween. I guess it's one of the pagan great feast days. There's like certain number of like great feasts in a year. And this one's called Samhain, which is where Halloween came from.
Oh, okay.
And then there would be like Yuletide is where Christmas came from.
Ah,
and
yes, I knew that one.
There's another one called like Hogmanay, which is where New Year's came from. Oh. You know,
see, so Hogsmeade.
Yes. Okay. Oh, wow. That was only one page. I'm going to have to speed this up. So yeah, basically they're checking into this bed and breakfast and so we know, okay, that's the time of year, and they go, oh, and then Mrs. Baird says, oh, are you going to be coming to the feast gathering? And Claire's like, what? And then she's like, oh, but be careful. Cause it's the feast of Saint Oren or Samhain or whatever. She's like, be careful. Ghosts are freed on the feast days.
Ooh,
free to be wandering about. And like, ooh. Ooh,
foreshadowing.
I don't know, maybe. and so they go upstairs in their bed and breakfast room, and this is where Claire and another voiceover tells us that they basically saw each other a total of 10 days over the entirety of the war. Over 5 years. It's not that it's awkward between them, but like they need to get to know each other.
Well, yeah, they're different, right? They're different people.
It's been a long time, and she's supposed to be in her late 20s, and I in the book it explicitly says that he's older than her. In the show, I think even just by the actors, you can probably gather that he's supposed to be a little bit older than her. So you would imagine that she was probably quite young when they were married initially, and then they've been apart for 5 years. And so, you know, and then this is where they get a little like flirty. They have a really squeaky bed, which they bounce up and down on, the squeaky mattress that they're jumping up and down on. And
is jumping a euphemism here?
No, they're literally jumping up and down.
All right, appreciate that.
Well, this is Claire trying to be like silly, trying to be like,
okay, break the tension.
And Mrs. Baird's like down below, like looking up, hearing the like, and she's like, what the heck are they? Okay. And then, this is where you hear Frank say something about, you know, we'll never be able to start a family and add to our family tree with a mattress like this. And so it kind of becomes clear, okay, they're clearly wanting to try for a baby or have been trying for a baby.
Right.
He's big about genealogy and like continuing on.
The bloodline and all that kind of stuff.
And, you know, and so they want a baby. And so they're jumping up and down on the bed. And then Claire's kind of a little bit, she initiates some sexy time.
Ooh, a sexy time right off the bat. Wow.
Although we don't really see it. They kind of just like
Oh, it's slink. Is it the pan to the side?
No, they like slink out of frame. Like she like pulls him out of camera shot.
Okay, also
and,
a good move.
And then it flashes to Mrs. Baird downstairs, and you hear like slow moving. So she and then she does this little smile of like, ah, that's better. Those kids, there we go.
Oh my god, I think she might be my favorite.
She does like a little smile of like, ah, there we go. Because I don't know
what you're doing it, kids.
You're like, I don't know what you were doing beforehand, but like it sounded like you're gonna crash through the ceiling. And then yeah, we flash to that, and then on the road again. And then it flashes, they're driving again, they're in the car again. It's like the next day, and they're driving on the road. And then oh, and then this is where a little bit of again exposition. I wonder if this is gonna come up later where Frank suddenly like, oh, see that rock formation right there? It's called Cockanamon Rock. Oh, I'm 12. And then that made me giggle. So she's like, and then he's like, and then he's like, the British and the 18th century, I think. Yeah, I always mix up my centuries. In the 18th century, the British used to hide there, and it was a great place to ambush the Scots and the Scottish Highlanders. And da-da. So you're like, oh, thanks, exposition, Frank. Okay, I wonder
what's gonna happen with that.
If that's gonna come in handy. Oh, and then we get okay.
Oh, now because she's gonna know because he told her.
Oh, this is where having a historian for a husband might come handy. Useful if you're gonna time travel potentially. And and then we flash back. Okay, so we find out her backstory a little bit. We find out okay, her parents died when she was young in a car accident, and she went to live with her Uncle Lamb. And it flashes back, he was like a archaeologist, and so we see young Claire out in some sort of dig and her lighting a cigarette for Uncle Lamb. And so we kind of know okay, that's her backstory. And then they're now at this old castle exploring again. Frank's super into genealogy and like facing and tracing his family tree. And Claire's speciality, she says, I've taken an interest in botany and herbology, which I wonder if that's going to come in handy. So she's like picking herbs and they're like, oh, this is according to this. Frank's like, according to this, this is Castle Leoc, which was inhabited by the Mackenzies until the late 19th century, 18th, one of the centuries. So we're like, and then they go inside and Frank's talking about how, you know, I can't be sure, but there's a good chance that my direct ancestor was.
Ew, wait, is Jamie Castle's, her kid?
Is Jamie her kid? What?
I don't know. You're talking about ancestry. I'm getting weird vibes here.
You went the wrong direction in time though. How? That is, I mean, we'll see.
I don't know.
I'll mark that one down. But he's very interested in like, I'm sure my direct ancestor could have been here. Da, da, da. And then they go into this other room. Like, what do you think this was used for? I don't know. Maybe the castle troll stayed here. And then Claire then sits on a...
I like that you thought that was so funny.
What, the castle Sorry. Troll? The castle troll? Frank's got dad jokes, even though
okay.
he's
not a dad.
Not a dad just yet. He wants to be though, so he's practicing.
Okay, got you.
And yeah, and then Claire is like sitting on a table, kind of giving him eyes, and he goes, "No, you'll get dirty." And she goes, "Well, then you can give me a bath."
Ew, I don't like that.
And I wish you could see.
I don't like that.
Face right now. And then he, you
I
know,
like that.
And
I'm,
he walks.
I'm uncomfortable.
Just wait, Brittany. And then he walks up to her and goes, "Why, Mrs. Randall, I believe you forgot your undergarments."
No.
And then he goes to kiss her and she grabs his head and pushes him down.
Lady knows what she wants. All right, then.
She okay. does. And then we see a little bit of that okay. and Claire's. Okay. Steph's enjoying it, so you go, girl. Claire. You get it, girl. And then now we flash to we're at this house with a man named Reverend Wakefield, who is someone that Frank knows, and he's also big into history and historian. And so we kind of find out that, like, Frank's – oops, I just knocked my mic. Sorry, everyone. So we find out
– everyone's eardrums.
So then we find out, you know, Frank's – he's also using this like second honeymoon as like an opportunity to continue to like search in his family lineage. So Claire's just kind of sitting there reading a book or something. as Frank.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun.
Right?
Like, all right. Really? Like, come on. We're here like to make a baby. What are you doing? Why are you reading books? Please, I need to make it more obvious?
That is not how babies are made.
You're doing it wrong.
And so, you know, they're talking about, you know, so they're going through, you know, history, pieces of paper, historical documents. Wow.
So technical. There was paper, I think, maybe some ink. I don't know. Words, language. Words, I don't know. Stuff, going through them. Letters.
And then they bring up, and Claire's like, what ancestor? And he's like, Frank's like, Jonathan Wolverton Randall, also known as Blackjack Randall. Mark that.
Blackjack Randall. Got it. His last name was Randall? I didn't even pick that up. Got it. Yes. Okay. Randall.
Randall. And he was known for harassing, but Reverend Wakefield says it, harassing. Harassing the Scottish countryside.
By the end of this, are you going to be like describing these in a Scottish accent?
Oh my God, my accents are so bad. When I watched the show, my thoughts were in a Scottish accent. Like it was a lot. But yes. So we're like, okay. And then Claire, you can tell, is like super. Oh, and then this is where the term Sassenite gets brought up. Cause he was Blackjack was harassing the Scottish countryside. The Highlanders weren't big fans, you know, and
oh, Claire, was he English?
Yes.
Ah, okay. And, gotcha.
And then Claire said something like, yeah, I feel like Highlanders still don't like the English. I distinctly remember the barman at the tavern referring to us as Sassenachs. And Reverend Wakefield says,
such a stupid word.
It's a real word. Do not insult Scottish history.
I'm not. It's lovely. I'm sure it's a wonderful word and a beautiful language. Stacey's saying it to me in a microphone.
It sounds so much better when Jamie says it. So
I'm sure with a proper accent. But when you whisper it to me, it's a lot.
Because I'm trying to Sassenach. But so, yeah, basically she's like, I distinctly remember them calling us Sassenachs. And, you know, and he says, don't take too offense to that. It just means Englishman or at the very worst, Outlander.
Ooh.
So it's kind
title
of a
title reference. We know, if we all watch Family Guy, we know we like those
title references. So an Outlander is a foreigner, someone not from here. But typically Sassenach is specifically in reference to English, like those who are from England. Yeah. So that's where we get a Sassenach reference. And then we have this is where we're introduced to Mrs. Graham, who is basically kind of like Reverend Wakefield's like housekeeper. And she comes in and she's basically like, Claire, you're bored with this. Do you want to come for a spot of tea in the kitchen? And she's like, sure. Don't you gentlemen think too hard. And so they go and they sit in the kitchen and the ladies are having some tea and they're having some oolong tea.
Ooh, I like oolong.
Oolong tea. Apparently that was terribly difficult to get during the war, but now, and so then Mrs. Graham says, oh, you know, it's the best for reading the tea leaves. And so she goes, oh, do you want me to read your tea leaves?
We'll be getting a little witchcraft here.
We're getting a little tea reading. So she reads Claire's tea leaves. And so Claire's like, okay, go on, have your fun. And she kind of
basically about to learn something. Would you mock the Witcher craft? You about to learn.
You about to learn
something. One thing I know, you're going to learn some things and you're not going to be prepared for them. I know this. I've watched enough. I know that.
Spoken like a writer, Brittany. You just know this. You know where we're going. So then she says, she flips the cup over and she goes, ooh. And then she's looking, she's like, well, you know, everything in here is contradictory. It shows a journey, but then this shows you staying put. And Claire's like, okay. And then says, and where you're going? Yes, there's definitely strangers there. One of them is your husband. And she's like, okay. All right. Okay. So what do we,
weird.
Yeah, where do we think this is going, Britt? And then she goes, here, give me your palm. So Mrs. Graham also does palm reading. Apparently.
Ooh, she is multi-talented. She is that.
She is a multifaceted lady. She got all the things. So Claire's like, okay. Claire's kind of like reluctant, but like kind of
interested. She's a little skeptical because she's got to be a little skeptical. She got to get pulled into this with like no background and like being she's got to be like one of those logical, well, she's a nurse. She's got to be all logical, right? She's like logical. She's married to a professor. She's not about this spiritual stuff. That's a good hook. You got to have her skeptical as shit.
Exactly.
Right? Right? Okay. All
so
right.
She's kind of like, she's like, okay, all right, I'll play along. But she's kind of a little like, okay. And then she looks at her, breaks down her hand and I wrote this down because I didn't want to get it wrong, but she basically says, oh, okay. So you have a large thumb. So that means that you're of a strong mind and a will that's not easily crossed. Well, fellow Outlander fans, if that ain't the truth, our Claire Randall / other names to be determined, for sure. And then she goes, and this right here, this is your mounted Venus. And she says, it sounds
sexual.
And she goes, in a man, it means he likes the lassies.
Oh no.
And she goes, and in a woman, well, I'll just say your husband isn't a likely to stray far from your bed. Which,
well, okay then.
I mean, based on that, you know, going downtown scene, she's not wrong.
She's got it right.
Claire seems to be a woman that knows what she wants.
And gets what she wants, which, you know, A+, little lady.
Go Claire. And then she says, and then the marriage line, it's divided. And she goes, which means two marriages. But she says, but normally it's broken. She's like, yours is forked.
Oh, we got some big foreshadowing going on here.
So this is where Claire's kind of like, okay. She's like trying to do stiff upper lip, but you can tell she's like a little rattled. She's like, what does this mean? And then, you know, in come the gentlemen, still talking about Blackjack. Blackjack. Blackjack and all that. Oh, and they start mentioning things. Oh, he must have had a patron in high places who helped him do this. Maybe it was the Duke of Sandringham. Da-da-da-da-da. Talking. And then, you know, and Claire's kind of like, okay, you know what? I think I'm... And she literally says, I think it's time for me to have a bath. And I couldn't help being like, it's such a strange thing to explicitly say out loud, especially given the image we had before when she's like, you can give me a bath.
Yeah, that was
later.
My dirty mind went right there. I was like, that's a subtle message there to your husband.
Like, but she basically is like, I'm tired. I'm gonna head back. You gentlemen have fun. Don't be too late.
She leaves Frank. Okay.
So she leaves. And again, so she's walking down the street and we get this voiceover again and back to the vase. So clearly we've circled back now to the vase thing, and she sees the vase in the window, and then she goes back to the, and so she's back at the hotel and she's brushing her hair, and Claire has quite curly hair. And
okay.
So she's brushing her hair and we get our first, do you remember her favorite swear phrase? Any memories?
Not at all. Nope.
Wait for it.
It wasn't Sassenach. Sassaquatch. What is it? What are we saying? Sassaquatch?
Sassenach.
Gotcha. Sassenach?
No.
Oh, okay. Then no, I got nothing.
Her favorite curse phrase is Jesus H. Roosevelt Christ.
Oh my God. That's so British.
Yes.
I can't handle it.
So she's
that's
like
the most British phrase ever.
So she's like brushing her hair and it's like hurting because her hair is curly AF. And she's like, Jesus H. Roosevelt Christ, like getting angry of it. And it's like
holding a U.S. president in there. Love
exactly.
It.
And so now it's raining outside and it's dark and it's storming outside. And so then now we see, okay, Frank's coming back and he's got an umbrella. And as Frank's getting close to the outside of the hotel, he suddenly stops and he sees this man kind of standing just outside. There's like this like statue thing kind of outside the window. And there's this man standing there staring up, looking at Claire through the window, watching her. And he's wearing a kilt, and we just see his back. So he's wearing a kilt and he's got like Scottish Highlander hat. Oh my God. I can't remember the name of it,
but you know,
kind of like, anybody who's listening, I'm like trying to visualize it.
She's just like motioning at her head and she's like grabbing it and twisting it. I don't know what's going on.
Anyway.
I think it's witchcraft.
All of you who've watched the show, you know what I'm saying. But so, you know, so he sees this man, you know, we just see his back and he's staring, just kind of staring up, looking at her. And like I said, he's like dressed in like full like Highlander gear. And Frank's kind of like, okay. And he kind of walks up and goes like, can I help you? And then as he's like, excuse me, can I help you? And then he goes up to like touch him and the dude kind of turns away and just like vanishes and he's just gone.
Ooh, is it a ghost?
Dun, dun, dun. And Frank's like, what the heck? So then Frank goes up to the room. The power's now gone out. And Frank goes up into the room. Claire's like lighting all these candles and coming in. And Claire's like, oh, darling, da da. And then she looks at him and goes, you look like you've just seen a ghost. And he's like, I'm not entirely sure that I haven't. And he's like, Frank's a little shook. And so then they're sitting down drinking whiskey because Brits and Scots and all, they drink a lot, man.
And this is, yeah, that's true.
And it's always on the rocks. And I, or no, yeah. not, I mean, not on the rocks, not on the rocks, just
straight.
Yeah. And I'm like, woo.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
cringe.
Weird off show. I was watching, what's that Netflix? It's the Irish gangster in the 40s. I am blanking on there. Peaky Blinders. I was watching Peaky Blinders. I got into season 3. Okay. It was great. It was loving it. I was just loving that show. One night I bought a bottle of whiskey because anyone who knows Peaky Blinders or even vaguely knows the show, they are nonstop drinking whiskey. And my stupid ass was like, I'm going to drink some whiskey while I watch Peaky Blinders. That was a terrible decision. Have you ever tried to keep up with a fictional show drinking whiskey? It's terrible.
Terrible decisions. We can make a game out of that when you do finally watch Outlander. Because
oh my god, no!
It's like literally take a shot every time a character drinks. You'd be dead.
Dead. I honestly ended up on my bathroom floor. That was terrible. It was a terrible, terrible. I don't know what I was thinking. I was like, well, they're doing it. I just want to enjoy with my characters. They were going to war against the English mob or something. They were going.
I don't know.
They were for the gambling, the racetrack. They were going to go to war, and I was like getting all pumped up. So I bought my whiskey, and I was going to drink, and I had my highball glass, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this with them. And they're drinking in the pub right before, and they're getting all their like hats on, and they're doing their little speeches. Or, you know, they were going to walk out with all their guns, and I was on the floor in the bathroom. I was done. I was like, Jesus.
Like, yeah, lesson learned. Don't try to keep up with fictional characters and their drinking because you won't win.
No, and yeah, and also they all drink just straight whiskey. And it's just like, my Lord.
Outlander is the same. So, and I cringe every time. But anyway, so Claire and Frank are sitting there having a drink and he's explaining, you know, I saw him and he was dressed like this. And then I went up and I should have felt him brush past me and I didn't. And da 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 da. And so Claire's just kind of like, and just like takes a sip of her drink.
Well, what do you say to your husband?
You're like, oh, okay, honey.
Tea leaves written when your husband decides that he's seen a ghost. And you're like, all right, I don't know what to do with this. Like, we're in a weird honeymoon. I don't know what's going on.
It's not going according to plan.
You saw a ghost. I don't know. I got nothing for you.
Like, and then
I just wanted to have a bath. Oh, I don't know what's happening.
And then... And man, this, I'm not even halfway through this pod. This first episode, guys, we're figuring it out, is probably going to be pretty long, but we're figuring it out. Hope you're having fun. But okay. So then at this point, Frank kind of looks at her and says like, you know, did you have any Scots that you nursed during the war? And she's like, oh yeah. You know, there was this one particular gentleman
three boys in this? Is this like a square? Is this a love square?
I don't know.
And what's the other one again? Frank and
oh my god, Brittany.
Jamie. Okay, we got there. Frank and Jamie. Is there another one?
I don't know. We'll find out. But you know, he says, oh, you know, did you nurse any Scots in the war? And she's like, yeah, there was this one that, you know, really was afraid of needles, but and then she kind of pauses and goes like, what is it that you're asking me? And he goes, well, you know, I just wondered if maybe one of them had come back to look for you, had like developed a bond and a connection. And she's like, okay, like, what is it that you're trying to say, Frank? Like, you know, and then he's like, you know,
he's like,
you know, I would just say like, you know, if there were to be anyone during the war, like I would understand. And she's like, are you asking me if I've been unfaithful? Cause it kind of sounds like what you're asking me. And you can tell Claire is like hella offended by this line of questioning. And he's like,
I feel like that's probably not a great response knowing what happens later. But it hasn't got soup and
it hasn't happened yet.
But technically, if it's in the past, it has happened.
This is where we don't try to follow the timeline because it literally hurts my brain when I try to do it too much.
Technically, if we're in the 1940s and she goes back to when? The 1700s?
We'll see.
1800s? I don't know. Something like that. I think she goes back with the witches, right? I'm guessing. Again, I don't really know. I think the witches take her back. But anyways, technically, she has cheated on him. I think,
but yet she hasn't tried. I know it's what it hurts my head. I can't, let's not go down that rabbit hole. Honestly,
this looks like a Matrix thing again.
It hurts, but you know, and it's, so it's kind of interesting though, because then it's like, are you feeling a little guilty, Frank? Like, did you like, I don't know.
Is that why he's so like ready to forgive her?
Maybe. I don't know. It's not, it's just kind of like, it's not explicitly answered, but you can read into it what you will, where you're kind of like, okay, interesting. Or
just like super understanding. And we just love Frank.
I don't know. We'll see. But you know, he's very much like, there's nothing that you could do that would make me not love you. And he's like, man, she's like, okay. And then Claire initiates some sexy time.
Ooh.
And this is where, what did my notes say? I think I said, ooh, and this is where we have our first appearance of a naked Katrina. So, you know.
Oh, is this like Game of Thrones? Ooh. We get some boobies?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, we're going to get boobies. Gotcha.
We see her whole model body. And Katrina Balfe was a freaking model before getting into acting. So, you know, if you ever feel. Chef's kiss. So, you know, like a legit model and then a legit talented actress. So. Well done, Katrina Balfe. But so Sheila has like a very nice body. And you're like, okay. And, you know, another voiceover. And she's like, you know, sex was our way back to each other. And like all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, they're having sex. That's the thing that happens. Okay. And then, you know, they kind of post-coital are talking. And he's like, oh, I got to set an alarm. And she's like, oh, I thought we weren't doing alarms. Like, what the heck? We're on our second honeymoon. He goes, I want to wake up to see the witches. She goes,
ooh. Witches.
And yes. She goes, okay. And he's like, well, they're actually druids, called druids.
Right. I got right. You. Yeah. I read that fae folklore.
Yeah. So he's like, okay. And she's like, okay, what, where are we going? And he's like, a place called Craig na Dune. And we're like, okay.
I think you said this word to me. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So then now next scene. Okay. Claire and Frank, it's like the crack of dawn. It's still like,
you know, kinda dark out. I would be if I was on a second honeymoon after serving in the war and my husband decided to wake me up
to go see the witches.
Witches at some rocks. I would be pissed. I'd be like, are you serious?
Like, no. Honey, it's so fun. This is so fun.
So fun. This is great. Let's go to the rocks. That's what I want to do. I want to go see some witches after I've had these weird tea leaves already driven and you've seen a ghost. Let's definitely go see the witches. That's a great plan.
Let's go.
We're doing great.
I've already been told that I'm going on a journey, but staying put, and there's strangers, and one of them's going to be my husband, and that my marriage line is forked.
And you saw a ghost. Let's add some druids to this mix.
This is fun. So, okay. So they, you know, go up to the rocks and it's really early, not quite light out yet, and they're like hiding in the long grass and the bushes, and Claire's like, what the heck is this? Yes. And then, and again, exposition Frank, you know, comes in clutch again and goes, these stones were, there's a whole Scottish folklore that says these stones were actually carried from Africa by a race of Celtic giants. And she's like, oh, I didn't know that Celts had giants, and you know, so that's apparently where these stones came from, because it's like a stone circle. Okay. And then there's one in the middle, and then it's like, ooh, here come the witches. So these women come and they're dressed in like these like white robe things, and
there's
they
a
have
point for me. I need that. Okay,
Brittany, you've got at least 3 points so far. Like at least
winning this game.
You're like, they are in a car. Boom, boom, boom.
Got it.
I can't remember what your other point was, but I think
I don't
it was
either.
There.
Don't remember.
But in, you know, here come the witches, and we have this pretty, very beautiful like. Celtic music and humming, and you know, and they're doing this like dance around, and we hear a voiceover which I can't remember what she says, but there's a voiceover.
Is and, it Claire again?
Or
is
yes, it all voiceovers are
it's
mainly.
It's only Claire? Got it. Okay.
We're in her head. We can hear her thoughts. And who do you think we see there as a part of the witches, Brittany? Any guesses?
Oh, the tea leaf woman. The witchy palm reader. We got her, right?
Mrs. Graham is there. So she's a druid. She's all up in that. So she's also mm-hmm. there, and they're twirling and doing this beautiful dance. And then it gets to the end and the sun rises, which to me, as I watched it, I was like, that is the fastest sunrise I've ever seen. Cause in 15 seconds, it's like fully dawn, like light out.
Magic sun. Okay.
And then they finish and they're like, oh, and they all walk away. And then Frank and Claire are like, oh, they walk into the stone circle and they're looking around and Claire sees this flower. Cause remember she's into her botany and stuff.
Yeah, okay,
and she's like,
okay.
She's looking at this flower and she's like, and then one of the druids is coming back. So they're like, Claire, quick, we got to hide. So they're hiding behind this other stone, like 5-year-olds being like, and then she comes in. So this one younger girl comes and she's clearly lost a clip or a bread or something. And she picks it up and then gets it. And then for some reason just decides to sit by herself on a log and just sit there. And so Frank and Claire,
had a magical
like,
twitch. She knew she had to be there.
She just had to sit. And so now Frank and Claire are like, we better go, huh? So they leave and we're now back at the bed and breakfast, and Claire's looking in her little book of like, she kind of has this like book of like that she keeps track of like all the plants that she's discovered. And I think she has another book where it tells you different types of plants. And Frank's like, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, you know, I'm trying to find that flower. I think it's a forget-me-not, but I'm not sure. And he's like, well, why don't you just pop back and go get it? And she's like,
ooh, dangerous last words, man.
And she goes, why don't you come with me? And he goes, oh, I can't. I got to go meet the Reverend because Frank's got to go look through some more freaking documents.
What a fascinating man.
He's like, holiday
with Jesus. Do you mind going on a holiday with this man? You like, want to go hang out with a librarian to hear genealogy good for like the third day?
Yep. So she's like, okay.
All right, this is very fascinating.
Like, so she's like, okay. So then he like walks away and he like, you know, gives her a kiss and she grabs him by the collar and gets him to kiss her again. And it kind of goes a little slow-mo. And then as he's walking away and you're like in slow motion and you're like, why is that in slow motion? Okay. I wonder, any theories, Brittany?
I feel like that's the last time we're seeing Frank. I feel like poor Frank is just going to get left with his weird genealogy book.
With his
Claire's son, grandson. I don't know.
I love that this is your theory that like somehow
I'm going with this theory. Why else does he care about his genealogy unless he end up being a descendant of hers? That's the only weird twist.
So your theory is either he's a descendant of Claire or he's a descendant of Jamie or like one of them.
Oh.
Didn't you say that earlier? Like, is Jamie his son? And I was like, wait, you went in the wrong direction there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Is Frank Jamie's son? Oh yeah. That's the person I meant. I don't know. I don't know who these people are. Is Frank Jamie's son? That's the dude. Is that the dude that he saw and he was like coming to see his son off because he like survived the war and he was like, what up, son? Dad. But I can't tell you that I'm your dad because I'm only your dad because of what happens tomorrow.
Oh my God, I love this theory. Let's see. Let's see if Brittany's right, everyone. Basically, you know, he walks away and now we see, okay, so Claire's driven herself back to the stones, you know, so she leaves the car there and she's in like this, she's in this like white, pretty like simple, like white dress that has like a little belt, around like the midsection. And then like a little, one of those like little hole necklines that has like a button up at the top.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, I see what you're doing. Yeah. Okay. All right.
And she has like, yeah, it's very 40. She has like a shawl. And so she goes up and she, you know, she finds this flower and she's picking it up. And then suddenly like this wind is coming and it's like really windy. And it's like, and then we hear this.
That was
like,
beautiful wind. Good job. Good job. Do it again. You see your wind. Move you gosh, your wind. Love it. Okay. I got this picture.
And so we see that the wind starts to pick up and it's like really blowing her hair and she's like, what the heck? And then we hear this like really weird noise and then Claire suddenly just starts walking towards the stone in the middle, just looking at it and just like for no reason, just kind of walks up to it and just like touches it. Touches the
stone. She's possessed by a demon.
Maybe. It's drawing her. It's a siren. The siren call of the stone. Oh, an interesting fact. When Claire and Frank were at the stones previously, a couple of scenes earlier, Frank straight up walks up and touches the stone just looking at it.
And oh, nothing happens to him? No one. The druids don't like him?
Apparently not.
Poor Frank.
Frank doesn't have the magic touch. Apparently. So Claire
walks up. Well, I don't know. Ask Claire. Apparently he has the magic touch.
Oh my God. And so, yeah. So then she touches the stone and then it's like, whoop. And then we get this thing of like, basically she describes the feeling as like being in a car accident. She was in a car accident one time, was in the back seat, had fallen asleep in the back seat. And
that where feeling, her parents died?
No, separate one. She was an adult. Oh, okay. And she describes the feeling as like kind of being tumbled in that weightlessness. And she's like, this is the closest thing I can describe as that feeling, but it also falls woefully short. She's like, I can't even describe how awful this. And in the books, it's described as being like freaking awful. Like,
oh, so not fun. Okay.
Like,
so
you're time being like
sucks. Okay.
Like you're being like torn apart.
Oh God.
And then basically it's like, whoa, and she wakes up on the ground and she's looking around and she looks a little rough. She's kind of like, oh, she gets up and she's like, what the heck? And so she's walking towards, and you can tell she's like, okay, where's the road? Where's the car? Okay, maybe I'm going to go this way. And so Claire just starts wandering in the woods. And it's
not
like,
a smart girl. She's stranger like, yeah, danger.
Yep. And we're just like, yeah, but let's wander through the woods. And then, and I have seen this episode 5 times. And every time this has freaking got me, there's a gunshot. And I flinched so hard. There was like this boom. Right. And then she's like, what the heck? And she's looking around and we see what Outlander fans call red coats. So basically 1700s. British soldiers in their red coats.
Oh, like, yeah. Okay.
Running. And she talks about how when you're presented with something that's illogical, your mind grasps for the rational, right? So she's like trying to make sense. Like she's like, perhaps I stumbled upon a film set and it's some sort of, right? And then she's like, you know, maybe I'm in a movie set. And she's like, but you know, there would be no logical reason for actors to be firing live ammunition because one of these mother effers, the redcoats, shoots right at her. So no. And so she's like, oh, and at that point she like ducks and just starts running. And now we have like super Celtic-y, like bagpipe, like running scene. And
we got tension. Okay.
She's running through the woods and then she trips and falls and does like a freaking barrel roll down the hill. And then magically she stands up and her belt's disappeared. She apparently lost that in the tumble down the hill. So now conveniently she straight up looks like she's in like a 1700s, the equivalent of like a shift, like your undergarments. I also swear her dress changed shape a little bit.
And this like fit more,
like it's a little bit looser, like I feel like it was so a bit more, so it looks more
structured and like then more like a shift. Okay.
It looks like, so I mean, we'll they gotta to do them. What they gotta do, but
they're
like,
druids, they send her time traveling through a portal, they can change her clothes,
they can change her dress, so we'll it's fine, but fine, yeah, druids. So she's running and then all the
druids
and
don't
then,
come for me, I don't want to be in the 1700s
druid, and so she's running and then all of a sudden she gets to the stream and she sees this like soldier, like this red coat, like bent down in the stream, and she stops and she's like, oh damn, and he turns and looks and he has the exact same face of Frank, and so
Frank has a doppelganger? Or did Frank go back too?
And this is, in fact, also Tobias Menzies. So same actor. So it's it's not like a lookalike. It's literally the same actor playing this role as well. And she stops and she goes, Frank? ? And then he starts to stare at her and she quickly goes, nope. She's like, you're not Frank. And he goes, no, madam, I'm not. And he introduces himself as, my name is Jonathan Wolverton Randall, as Captain.
Oh, his ancestor, dude, person that he's researching. So I feel like we're going to hate Frank's ancestors. Is that why we don't like Frank? It's because Frank comes from a line of redcoats that tried to, what did they do to Claire?
I love where your brain is going right now. And let me just clarify, because people are going to come for us. Frank is a lovely man. Many people love him.
Yes, this is all in good fun. All in good fun.
I am not even going to try to hide it, though. I love Jamie Fraser.
Yeah, you're team Jamie. Yeah, that's so, fine. That's fine.
But so, okay, but anyway, but
that was like we'll back continue. To my point with this thing with Twilight. We all like Jacob, but we're all team Edward. Okay. Jacob is a great guy and he didn't deserve, I mean,
but there
the
certain...
ending was weird and I don't want to get into that. It oh really upset God. Me. Poor I don't want to talk about it. I it don't like weird. It. It got real weird in that fourth book. But if we
you mean where he imprinted on a baby?
With an infant? Ew, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. That reading that book was one of the cringiest things I've ever done in my entire life.
It was a lot. It was a lot.
It was a lot. But anyways, let's get out of this wormhole.
Okay, we're going to pull it back. But we're going to pull it back. But yeah, so he's like, yes, Jonathan Wolverton Randall, the Majesty's like 8th Dragoons. So he's a captain of one of the regiments in the area. Okay. And he goes, and who are you? And Claire's like,
Oh, well, she can't say Randall because that's weird, right? That's she can't weird. Say her.
And so what does Claire decide to do? She's like, you know what? Screw this. I'm out. So Claire turns around to start to run. And he immediately starts chasing after her.
Yeah. You she don't gets, run from the popo.
she gets trapped. Suspicious. Against her, she gets
She's
trapped.
Also in her underwear. So that's not great.
And she, Claire also doesn't know where or when no, okay, she fair. Is. Her brain is like, what is happening? Where fair am
enough.
I?
Fair enough. Okay, I'll give her this. I'll give her a pass.
So she gets trapped up against a rock and he automatically, with it, like literally, poor girl, she's been here 5 minutes. She's already having an awful time. He has his sword out, pins her against the rock, has his sword up to her throat.
A lady friend and we're treating her so?
Oh, welcome
Bad
to
Captain.
Welcome Bad to Outlander. Captain. Welcome to Outlander, my love. And he basically is like, "Who are you?" And so she's thinking quick. She's like, she's like, "My husband will be looking for me any minute." And who's your husband? And she's like, "Frank." "Frank who?" And she's like, "Well, I can't say Randall." So she goes, "Beecham," which is her maiden name.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But it's like spelled like Beauchamp, but it's Beecham. So when you're reading the books, it's like Beauchamp, but it's...
Is she French?
Maybe. Who knows? Okay. Ancestors, I don't know. But so she's like, Frank Beecham. And what does he do? He's a teacher. Oh, well, Mrs. Beecham, the teacher's wife. What is a lady doing out here dressed only in her undergarments? And she's like, unhand me right now, blah, blah, blah. And so then she gets upset and then she's like, you effing bastard. And she's... spits at him. Claire is feisty.
Wow.
Remember yep, the okay. big, seems like Mrs. Graham palm reading was not far off. She is.
She's a big thumb. She's got big thumb energy.
She is a strong will. And so then he says something to the fact of like, what is it? She's, oh, you have the speech of a lady, but the language of a whore. And you're like, okay. So then, but then he, this welcome to Outlander. There's gonna be a lot of this. He turns her around and starts to try to lift up her dress.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So it's she's already being assaulted and she's been here 5 minutes. So awesome. Great. Great. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this other dude in a kilt like drops from apparently the sky and knocks Blackjack out. And then goes, yells something in Gaelic to her, says something like, "Threw it." And she's like, "What?" And he's like, "Threw it." And she's like, "Okay." So she grabs his hand and they just start running and they hide behind a tree. And then he's like, got her. And then she starts seeing other red coats. And Claire is not a great time travel to start because she goes, "Help, help." And he's like, "Oh my God, would this girl shut up?" So because she won't shut up, he bonks her over the head to knock her out.
She is not having a fun time.
She is not, she's not having a good time. Not at all. So then now we get to, okay, now she has another voiceover and she's basically on a horse with this unknown man. He's kilted. Yes. And okay. He's driving. She's like, "Well, you know, if I didn't think this was real, the smell of the guy I'm on this horse with is this can't be fake. So I don't know what, this isn't a dream. I'm not dreaming this." And he basically rides them up to this like cottage and they enter this cottage and there's a bunch of like dirty, sweaty, hairy men speaking in a language that she doesn't understand. And we don't get subtitles.
So
they're speaking Gaelic, because I discovered Gaelic and Gaelic are two separate things. Gaelic is Scottish. Is it Scottish Gaelic? And I think Gaelic is more Irish. But anyway, things gotcha. You learn. Okay, if I'm wrong, I apologize. If I'm wrong, I apologize.
Please let me know. Anything in offense, none of it is meant that way. This is all in jest and fun.
But so yeah, she walks in and there's all of these hairy, sweaty, dirty men speaking Gaelic. And yet there's one super attractive man sitting by the fire. I wonder who the other lead of this show is. I wonder
who. Is it the pretty boy? It's always the pretty boy.
So he's sitting by this fireplace, right? And then, you know, the kind of the leader. So I'm just going to start using names. So this guy walks over. His name is Dougal. You find out his name's Dougal soon.
Wait, Dougal's the guy that grabbed her?
No. That was a man by the name of Murta. So Murta's brought her in, and Dougal is kind of the leader of this gang of merry men, and walks over and is like, so Murta's like, I found her being, you know, set upon by a certain captain of Dragoon who we're acquainted with. He's like, oh, what was going on? And it seemed to be some sort of words about whether or not the young lady was a whore. and he's like, oh, so what's the verdict on that? And one of the Joe Schmoes standing there, who you'll find out his name is Rupert, makes a stupid dude joke, being like, oh, well, there's one way to find out. And you're like, ugh, Rupert. Come on. Okay, gotcha. And then that's where Dougal's like, I'm not for rape. And besides, we haven't the time anyway. And you're like, okay.
Great justification. All right. Love it.
And then Murta says, like, I don't know anything about this woman, but I'd bet that the lady's not a whore. You just basically look. And Claire's like, I am not. She's like very like stiff upper lip.
British is coming out.
So then basically they're like, we don't know who this woman is. We don't know if we can trust her. We don't know what's going on. She's British. So that's concerning. So, okay, fine. You're going to ride with us, but we got to figure out. So we find out Jamie's got a severely dislocated shoulder and it looks pretty gross. And they're like, okay, we got to get him fixed up to ride. We got to keep moving. Right. And so, we got to keep it moving. So then one of the guys is like, all right, I'm just going to have to pop it back in place. And so he's about to do it. And Claire just like can't help herself and just goes, don't you dare. You'll break his arm if you do it like that. And all the dudes are staring at her like, who is this?
Why is she talking?
Who is this woman? Why? What? And they're all looking at her and be like, you know, it has to be in the proper ankle before you force the joint back in. Otherwise you'll break his arm. So then they're like, Dougal's like, okay, do your thing, lady. And so
come here, woman.
So she walks up and, you know, looks at Jamie and she's like holding his arm and she's like, okay, this is going to hurt. And he gives her a nod and he's already giving her hard eyes. Like already. He just trusts this random woman to just, he's like, okay. He's like, it hurts so damn much right now. I hope you're not going to try to kill me. Okay. So she kind of looks at him and they stare at each other's eyes and she gives him a little nod like, oh, you're ready? And he just gives her a little nod of like, okay, do it. And she's like cranking it. And the sound it makes is really gnarly. It was really, really great prosthetic work because they literally show the joint pop back into place.
Ew.
It's so gross. And Jamie's like, oh. And then immediately he's like, oh my God, it feels so much better. So then she's like, okay, she's got to sling it up or whatever. She's like, you give me your belt and you fetch clean cloth. And they're all like, fetch clean cloth, she says. And Dougal's like, just do it. They're like, okay. And so she slings them up and all that kind of stuff. And then she's like, okay, and try not to use your arm for a couple of days and use a cold compress and da da da. And he's like, how do you know all this? And this part kills me. How do you know all this? And she's like, I'm a nurse. And he stares right at her boobs and goes, oh, and she goes, not a wet nurse. And I was like, oh yeah, because that was a thing. And then basically like, okay, you're ready to ride? We gotta go. We gotta get moving. So they go out to the horses and this is where Claire's like looking out, really trying to figure out where she is. And she's beginning to accept that like,
okay, something's weird. Yeah.
We're not in Kansas anymore. Like something's different. And she goes, where's the town? She's looking for Inverness. Like it should be right there. And he's like, it's right there. And it's like, there's no like electricity light. Like it's very dim in the distance. So she's like, I had to kind of accept like wherever I was not in my time anymore. So she's like trying to accept that.
That'd be weird. I don't think I would accept that very well.
She's like, okay.
A lot more of a process going into this than just be like, okay. What? Sure. Put me on a horse. That sounds great.
And the name that she gives them to is, she says her name's Claire Beecham. She sticks with Beecham.
Okay. Because they know who Randall is. She can't give that name away.
Could you imagine? My name is Claire Randall. They'd be like, oh, you's definitely a British spy. So yeah, basically. And then so like, all right, you know, they get Jamie on the course. They're like, okay, you'll ride with Jamie. And then Dougal's basically like, if you try to run, I'll slit your throat. Like straight up.
Claire.
So like hops up. So she's on the horse with Jamie. She's in front and he's
so just like help this guy and now a hostage. All right.
Cool. Yes. Well, Dougal's the one that says, I'll slit your throat. Jamie doesn't say that. Dougal does.
Okay.
No,
okay.
It was Dougal that said that. Jamie would never. Well, he would, but not to her. He's already smitten a little bit. And of course it starts with Scotland. It's raining. Of course it's like pouring and then automatically Jamie's like shifting around and she's like, Claire's like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm trying to get they call it the plaid, like his tartan, like it's like how it's like got the long bit. He's like, yeah. I'm trying to get my plaid loose, like you can drape it over us basically as a blanket. And she's like, I'm fine. And she's like, and one of the iconic lines, he goes, you're shaking so hard, it's making my teeth rattle. So he's like trying to get the plaid loose to cover over their shoulders. And then she's like, okay. And then we have a riding montage. She realizes they're going to be riding for like the next couple of days. She's like, damn. So then,
well, yeah,
we have a riding montage and it's funny. Does anybody else notice this? There's like one spot in this riding montage where I can 100% see their acting doubles. Like
really?
Jamie and Claire. Yeah. Like I can totally notice where it's like, Claire's like bending on under a branch and I'm like that the forehead is different. Like that is a double, but okay. You do what you gotta
buy
do.
Buy into that. Yeah. There you go.
So they drive, you know, they're doing that. And then, you know, they drive by, what do we see? We see Cockanemon Rock as they're about.
Oh, so she didn't get transplanted right to the rock. She was like thrown a bit.
No, well, no. So she did because she was at Craignadoon and then she wandered.
Oh, she ran. Right.
Okay, and remember, so they've been back. And they've been riding, but not Craignadoon. They don't see Craignadoon. We see Cockanemon Rock. Remember where we got Exposition Frank saying, this rock
that's
formation.
The place to hide. Yeah, yeah, for the British. Got it.
Yes.
Got it.
She goes, I know this. And he goes, ah, yes, Cockanemon Rock. Or he says something in Gaelic and then goes, also known as Cockanemon Rock. And she goes, yeah. The British hide there to ambush. And he goes, that would be a bonny place. Welcome to our first bonny. Oh, that would be a bonny place for an ambush. And he goes, So then he rides up to Dougal and starts saying something in Gaelic to him. Basically, so this lady is saying that the British hide there. And Dougal's like suspicious. Like, how do you know this? Who told you this?
Yeah, that doesn't look good. That looks like you were there with the British.
And she's like, someone in the village told me. And he's like, okay. And so they're like listening and they're sensing. And then all of a sudden, Jamie just goes, hide yourself, and freaking like derps her off the horse. And it's just like,
tucks her.
It's like tuck and roll, Claire, down another hill. And then
poor
it's
girl's
like,
got bruises.
And then they're off. So then the guys are off, fighting, charging, all that kind of stuff. And Claire decides, I'm gonna run and wander in the woods and try to get away. And you're like, where are you going, Claire? You literally don't know where you are.
You don't even know what time you are, Claire. Get back there.
So she's like trying to escape, of course. And then, of
to
course,
be this, fair, someone did threaten to slit her throat.
I mean, very comfortable there. Fair enough. So she's trying to get away, and then she gets to a certain point, and then who crosses her path but Jamie, covered in blood a little bit. And we notice, you know what? He looks pretty good covered in blood, I have to say.
Okay,
but
we're liking this look.
So he's standing there, and she's like, oh, you're going to hurt your arm. Because she's like, I told you not to use that arm. He's like, I kind of didn't have any choice. Like, I needed to, or I would have been dead. And he's like, you weren't thinking of getting away, were you? And she's like, I'm leaving. And he's like, Dougal and the men are going to be waiting for you up the road. So you better come with me. And she's like, I will not. And they have this little standoff and ooh, the tension. And they have this little standoff and he's basically like, they're going to find you up the road. So you better just come with me. And he's like, you don't look that heavy, bad shoulder or not. I will throw you over my shoulder. Do I have to do that? And she looks at him and she's like, no. So he's like, so it looks like you're coming with me then. And you're like, ooh, okay. So then she's like, okay, gets back on the horse with him. And she's very like begrudgingly like, like not having it. And then, you know, they meet back up with the guys and they're all like, thanks for the tip, lassie. You gave us a wee bit of fun. as they're like drinking and you know, and so they're having some ale or something. And Jamie offers her some and she's like, no. And he's like, really take it. It like, it won't fill your belly, but it'll help you forget that you're hungry. Basically have a little bit.
Oh, okay. All right.
She's like, okay. So then we get another riding montage. It's dark now and they're riding. And then all of a sudden we see, this is also a very infamous scene in line. We also see like Jamie looks like he's starting to like droop a little bit. Like
he's going to fall off.
Danger. And then Claire goes, stop, help. He's going over, which is one of Katrina's apparently audition scenes. But she's like, he's going over. And then Jamie just like promptly just falls off the horse and is like out. He's just like unconscious. So they hop off and they're like, she's like, help me. And this is like Nurse Claire mode activated.
It's like push start.
Like fully. So she's like, here, help me. He's like out cold. She's like, here, help me. We have to do something to disinfect the wound. And they're like, disinfect? Yeah, yeah. It's got to be cleared from germs. And they're like, germs? She's like, yes.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, yeah. Does anyone have any iodine? And they're like, looking at her like, WTF. She's like, methylate? And they're like, what are you talking about? And then she finally goes, alcohol. And they're like, oh yeah, we know what that is.
Love that that's the one. Yeah, absolutely, we do.
So they hand her some alcohol and she pours it. So she just, we've discovered that Jamie has a little gunshot wound on kind of his collarbone area, and like the bullet's gone clean through. She's already mad at him. She's like, the idiot could have said something. Oh god, she's like so annoyed with him already. And then like, so she pours some alcohol on it, and then he like wakes up cursing in Gaelic going whoa, and she's like, couldn't you tell you were shot, you idiot? And she's like, oh, it didn't seem so bad at the time. Like, she's already scolding him. And he's already, like, the biggest hard eyes. He's staring at her, just the biggest hard eyes. Like, he's like, okay. And then so we also get another Jesus out Roosevelt Christ. And she's like, does anybody have clean bandages? And no one's doing anything. So she's like, Jesus out H. Roosevelt Christ. And she, like, rips a bit of her dress off to, like, bandage it.
Ooh, they're all,
like,
scandalous.
They're all like, what the heck is with this woman? And they, like, so she, like, bandages it up. And then the bandage keeps slipping. And so she's like, Kurt, like, F-bombs, like, mother, like, and the guys are like, I've never heard a woman use such language in my life. Like, they're just like, they're shook. They're like, your husband should tan your hide. And then she's like, she's the equivalent of like, piss off, or like, mind your own business. And they're like, what the heck? She's not a great time traveler. She hasn't, she still doesn't know what she is.
She's not putting two and two together.
Like, tread lightly, Claire. We are in, and she doesn't find this out till the next episode, but we're in 1743. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
I'll tell you that. But, like, not
the
good.
The woman being bossy, not a great look at this moment.
Not great. Not great. And so then she, like, bandages him up, and then Dougal's basically like, okay, give you a little bit of time to get him to fix the ride, but we got to go. And she's like, he needs rest. And he's like, they're like, no, the redcoats are on our tails. We got to freaking go, lady. We got to move. And then that's where Jamie's very much like, yeah, like Randall. And she like looks at him and she's like, you know Randall? And he's like, oh yeah, like I know him. And he goes, I won't risk you or anyone being taken hostage by that man. And then basically was like, if you can't fix me up enough to ride, basically leave me here with a loaded pistol and I'll decide my own fate.
Oh,
so
Jamie, you got dark, boy.
So maybe there's some history there, potentially. I don't know.
This does not bode well.
Yeah.
Our character. I don't think we like him.
Well, he did try to rape Claire already.
That is true. That was one bad mark.
That's a strike.
Two strikes.
And
three strikes and you're out.
Well, we'll see if there's more strikes. We'll see.
Okay.
And then there's more flirty banter back and forth between them already. And, you know, she kind of, because she's like, are you sore? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, good. And then that'll teach you. And then, you know, she gives, puts her hand out to help him stand up to get him on the horse. And he goes, and he goes, thank you, Sassenach, truly. So we get our first time he calls her Sassenach. But he says it in like a affectionate way. He goes, thank you, Sassenach.
Is this going to be a pet name? Are we getting a pet name here with this Squamish
pet name? Maybe. But he says it very affectionately. And then we get this also becomes like a common line where she goes, on your horse, soldier. And they get up and then they're off again. And then we get another voiceover. So it's now daylight and where are they? They're at they're entering Castle Leoch, which is the castle that she visited a couple days earlier, but 200 years in the future with Frank. And so she's like, I've been here before, but how could something that hasn't happened, how could I remember something that hasn't happened yet? Like, what the heck is happening? Oh my gosh. She goes like, I've been here before. And she goes, in the last 2 days, I've been assaulted, threatened, kidnapped, nearly raped. So we're like, it's been a rough ride already. Yeah,
she's not doing great. She's holding on by some threads here.
It's been a rough. And then it ends with her saying, somehow I knew my journey had only just begun. And dun, so, dun, and dun. Then fade. And then episode over.
That was very dramatic. A right? lot of things happening for episode one.
So many things.
A lot of characters.
Right? And don't
we already hate people. That's crazy.
There are already some not great people, man.
Yeah, I already don't like some folks, and we are one episode in.
So who's like on your shit list already? Do you have a shit list?
Well, that Randall character, don't like him. And then
so Blackjack, we're not thinking we like
the
him.
The Dougal dude, don't like that he threatened her. That's not fun.
It's not
don't
great.
That's not great. That's not a good look.
Nope. Strike for Dougal.
Strike. Jamie, I mean, that's kind of cute, but he also kind of like threatened to like throw her over his shoulder. Not great. That's not good.
Yeah, I mean, he threatened to throw her over his shoulder, but like not like hurt her. Well, and here, if you don't like Jamie, I'm sorry. Like, I'm going to be defending him all the time. But if you think about it too, he's also trying to keep her safe in that moment too, because he knows if she tries to run, Dougal and the others are going to catch her.
Dougal
Dougal already doesn't trust her, and that
I'm not
and,
liking him,
and if he were to catch her running, it makes her look even more suspicious. Like, he knows she's not getting away, so he's like, listen, just come with me. And she's stubborn, and he's like, just come with me. Do I have to throw you over my shoulder? Because I freaking will. I don't want to do it. Can we? Okay, thank you. Can you just get on the horse with me, please? I'm trying to help you.
Just cooperate, woman.
That's how, yeah. Oh, he's going to be doing a lot of that. Get ready, Jamie. Okay, so we have, Dougal and Blackjack seem to be on your shit list.
Yeah. I don't think I like the druids. They threw her through a loophole.
it was their fault.
Really nice. I don't know. They did some dancey stuff, and then she's now 200 years in the past. So they're going to hold some blame for that right now.
What a strike for the druids.
You can't do witchcraft without making sure it's responsible and safe for bystanders.
Don't leave a portal open, okay,
exactly.
Folks?
Exactly. That is my PSA to all of the Wiccans and pagans out there. Don't just leave your weird time-traveling loophole portals open.
Practice or responsibly.
Random people. Yeah. To fall through. Because look, if I fall through a portal, I'm with Claire. I'm not doing great. Okay?
I would not do great. Oh my gosh. Okay. So, and then are there any characters that you're seeming to like already?
I'm liking Claire. She seems like she's got her, you know, her head on her shoulders.
It would be unfortunate if we didn't like the heroine of our story.
That would. I'm glad I'm liking her. I'm still not against Frank. I mean, he's
fair enough.
Bookworm, but you know, the
not the greatest on a honeymoon, apparently.
No, like a little boring to be around. But I mean, he seems to kind of love her. So I mean, okay, and that's kind of cute.
Yeah, fair enough. I think he does love her for 100%.
He let her go to a portal by herself. That's kind of sucky. Like, put down your books, go with your woman so that she doesn't fall in a portal.
Silly Frank.
But I mean, he also trusts the lady and like, you know,
except
he's pretty like able to like take my car, go do your thing. I trust you. Like, I kind of like that.
I don't trust that you didn't mac on other dudes during the war, apparently.
But he was going to forgive her. So
he's like, listen, you know. I'm just saying if you did, we'll just let it go. Okay.
You know.
Fair enough.
Past is the past. It was a war. It was different times.
Yep. True. Yep. 5 years is a long time to be apart.
Okay. I'm with you on the Jamie thing. He was protecting her. Okay. He might have sold me on this episode.
Okay.
I don't know if I like his band of merry men. They seem a little atrocious. But
a little rough. We'll see.
Rough on the edges. They could use a little work.
You can get a love-hate relationship with, you know, a bunch of Scottish Highlanders from 1743.
You're not always going to agree with them.
Some questionable views on women, for sure. There's lots of that. We'll have fun with that. Okay. And so we end this episode arriving at Leoc, Castle Leoc. Do right. you have any memories or any theories of where we're going next? Like, what is coming to your end? What do we think roughly?
What do you think
the next episode might include?
Well, I mean, there was red coats on their tail. So, and they escaped that battle. Mm-hmm. The one where they got ambushed. That can't be the end of that, the first little thing. We gotta hate Randall more. I feel like he's gonna be our antagonist. We need to make me, as a viewer, like the Highlanders. So you gotta show that the opposite person, the other character, that, what's it, protagonist, antagonist?
Antagonist.
You gotta show that they are the real villain, they're the enemy, and even though the Highlanders are gonna do some shitty shit, '40s and we're modern women and, you know, don't throw women over your shoulders to force them on horseback and threaten to cut their throats.
Oh, but honey, that's just the start.
That is the better option, and you got to make me root for them. So that means that the red coats, you got to get me quick, right? Because if I see too much of that nonsense, I'm going to be like, I don't like these Highlanders. So I feel like the next episode, we're going to get some red coats and they're going to be doing some real janky shit. Because that castle, that can't be just like, they can't just like cozy away right now and then she just gets to settle in. Like, that's too easy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like, we're going to have, and it's going to be like some weird traumatic shit. And that's when she's going to figure out that she's like in a weird time. Cause like I don't know. Something's going to happen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's going to be like in the castle, but like things are going to go wrong. And then she's going to like, not like, it's got to be like panic, like tension. Like, that's what my prediction. Redcoats are going to descend on the castle and do some janky shit.
All right. I like that in quotes. All right. Okay. Fair enough. And oh man, there are some episodes that can't wait to talk to you about, because there have been some episodes where I felt morally conflicted and but that's what I love about this show, because these characters seem realistic and three-dimensional and
they're
what would
black and white.
What would people in 1743 behave, and what would their moral compass be? And it's going to be very different from our time, and even from Claire's time. Claire is from the 1940s, and we're watching this with 2020 eyes.
Like, while this is a sci-fi, it's not a fantasy picture. Like, this is rooted in contemporary modern history, and contemporary modern history is shit for a lot of it.
It gets rough.
A lot of different people. At a lot of different time points.
It could be rough.
It was rough. It was some not great stuff going on.
And there's a lot of historical stuff. And you like history and politics. So you might be interested by this. But okay.
I'll probably be angered by a lot of it, but
fair enough.
You know,
that's okay. And rightly, and there are gonna be characters that you're gonna be really mad at, and then you will, if you're like me, you'll loop around and forgive them, because that's the way it works, you know. It's the way life works. Okay, so this episode is gonna be so long. Apologies, everyone. We'll figure this out.
Apologies, and thank you if you've managed to listen.
If you've made it this far, thank you. So yeah, we're gonna be working on coming up with a schedule and
a recording schedule and uploading
schedule. We figured out we're new to this, and it's fun.
It is. It's a good time.
If there are two people out there that listen to this, I'll be happy, because it's ridiculous. It's us talking about a show that's already existed for like 6 years almost.
Yes. And most people, if anyone's interested, will have seen his show, and they're just listening to me, a dummy, have no idea what's going on, and probably just actively mock the entire fandom. The entire
No, because I am deep. I'm new to the fandom, but I'm deeply rooted in it. So
that is, you are.
I will always defend it. But yeah. So hopefully you enjoyed this. All right, and then I guess we'll wrap this up, because this is already going to be so long. I will say, if you liked this, then, you know, please
come find us.
We do have an Instagram and a Twitter. Both of our handles are just She's an Outlander. Just
No dots. Big conversation. There are no dots in those handles.
Just
the consensus was that we don't care if there's dots. And so there's no dots. That's the way we roll.
Just all together. Just She's an Outlander on Instagram and Twitter. Come follow us.
We love to hear.
This is going to be interesting because I don't know if like I'm going to maybe have to monitor the socials a little bit more than you, Brittany, because I'm concerned that we're going to get spoilers from like future seasons that have aired already. So, I mean, if possible, try not to put any spoilers out there for future seasons for Brittany, because I would love to keep her surprised as we continue to go on. I'm sure you would enjoy those reactions too.
And I would as well. I have been spoiled for many a show. Like shows, movies, I have a bad knack of spoiling myself and having things spoiled. I mean, every season of Game of Thrones, everything was spoiled.
Well, and the ridiculous,
so it would be lovely if this
didn't get spoiled. Well, what's ridiculous is like we're doing a podcast about this show Outlander that already has five full seasons aired, so it's like it's fair game. So
I know it's true. It's no, it's you, it's yeah. No I blame, might, no hate. If anything does slip by,
I just might.
I'm
have
gonna
to
do my best.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to do my best to stay away from anything that's spoilery or that gives anything away or any, you know, hints of upcoming things that would be exciting for me to listen to. I'm going to try and stay away. So I don't know what's happening.
So we can all have the fun. And then, like we said, when we kind of, once I'm able to recap all 16 episodes of season one, we will probably take a break and I'll make Brittany watch the episodes. And then we'll probably do like an episode or two of us talking about it and from, you know, she's actually seen it and we can kind of break it down and do a little bit more of an actual analysis.
And have you be able to express a lot more of those in-depth thoughts that I right now don't understand while I listen and love to listen to you, Stacey, and I appreciate and support you. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Of course. Well, and all of these characters probably look the same, like you're like, who is what?
Yeah. So,
but okay, so this is running long, so we will wrap this up. Thank you so much for listening. If you made it this
thank
far,
thank you everyone. If you're
we
here.
we hope you had fun. And again, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at She's an Outlander.
And we'll be back when we figure out an upload.
Schedule. I'm just gonna say, we're probably gonna try to do weekly, but you know, we've got a lot of weeks of this droughtlander. It's a real term. So we've got a lot of time, so we'll fit it all in. So thanks so much and we'll see you in the next episode. Bye everyone.
Bye guys.